The Hanesboro manager gets the nod to stay on another year, and the Chilkoot Trail needs some backpacking artists this summer. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. Following a satisfactory performance evaluation, the contract for the Hanesboro manager Mark Ernest is extended to June 2014. The Hanesboro Assembly on Tuesday met in executive session to go over Ernest's evaluation. Mayor Stephanie Scott announced the outcome of the executive session during the regular meeting later Tuesday evening.
It's probably time to announce that the Assembly members present at the executive session to evaluate the manager concur that he meets the job standards.
None of the Assembly members at the regular meeting spoke publicly about the manager's evaluation or why any of them think Ernest is doing a satisfactory job. After the meeting, Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman said her range of marks for Ernest ranged from satisfactory to exceeded job expectations.
Overall, I think on the average, I think he's met the job expectations.
Dave Barry is the newest member on the Assembly and said there were some aspects of Ernest's job that he hasn't had the opportunity to observe yet. But overall, he is comfortable with the process used to evaluate the manager.
A lot of the questions on the evaluation, I feel that I didn't have firsthand knowledge with him because I am so new. So there's a lot of questions that I didn't feel that I could really respond to. But the questions I did respond to is the things I had day-to-day basis or week-to-week working with him, and those were satisfactory.
The Assembly last summer began discussing searching for a new manager. Ernest at one point mentioned he wasn't interested in extending his contract because of family reasons. But later he said he was interested in staying for another year, until June 2014. The Assembly voted to extend his contract if he received a satisfactory evaluation. While the individual evaluations from each Assembly member are kept private, Mayor Stephanie Scott released a compilation of the results. The evaluation is divided into 8 categories and ranked on a 5-point scale. According to the results, Ernest scored mostly close to the 3 range, or the meets job standards rank. His scores in each category remained close to those from his 2011 evaluation. He scored highest in the category of intergovernmental affairs and lowest in communication. There was a wide range of rankings among the Assembly members. For example, in some categories, the range of rankings from the 6 Assembly members ranged from 1 to 5. The mayor wrote that the Assembly members included a total of 33 written comments on their evaluations, but those were not made public. The Assembly voted to have the Personnel Committee review Ernest's contract for the next year before the Assembly votes to approve it. In other news from the Assembly meeting, the group voted to support the Haines Police Department with resources needed in the ongoing investigation of 2 dogs shot with arrows last week. Steve Vick, Assembly member and director of Haines Animal Rescue Kennel, said the felony offense has received a lot of attention and concern in the community. He wants resources made available to the police if needed.
Police departments already then proactively did a press release and offered a reward. If the reward needed to go up, I think the resources available and or if any outside resources need to be pulled in to help with the case, should be available to them. I think it signals that we, as an Assembly, support the police and really want to help make sure that this, any crime, but this one in particular, gets resolved.
Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel said she wanted an idea of how much money the additional resources could add up to, but Manager Mark Ernest said there were still budgetary constraints that would limit certain amounts of money being spent before the Assembly needed to approve those measures.
It signifies that this is a high profile, high priority case for the Assembly, and it certainly is for the administration and police department. We share in that.
In another law enforcement matter, Mayor Scott said she recently spoke with the Deputy Commissioner of Public Safety about having another trooper or blue shirt placed in Haines. The community is slated for 1 trooper and 1 wildlife trooper. The current wildlife trooper has to deal with both regular and wildlife trooper business since Trooper Josh Benz left last year. Mayor Scott said Deputy Commissioner Terry Vrabeck told her a second trooper would be placed in Haines eventually.
There will be a trooper placed in Haines, and it's not a question of funding, it's a question of personnel. And they are 17 troopers short in the state of Alaska.
However, an academy class is expected to begin soon with about 26 cadets, but the academy lasts 16 weeks. You can listen to the complete audio of Tuesday's meeting on our KHNS News webpage. The Klondike Gold Rush National Historic Park is looking for artists who want to hit the Chilkoot Trail this summer. Together with the Yukon Arts Center, Parks Canada, and the U.S. National Park Service, the Klondike Park is seeking submissions for visual artists to apply for a Chilkoot Trail Artist in Residency program. In this case, artists actually spend 2 weeks on the 33-mile trail that crosses the Alaska-Canada border. Artists will interact with hikers and work on a project while on the trail, according to the park's education coordinator, Amanda McCutcheon.
One is that when the artists are out on the trail, that they have some type of a project that they've designed in which they can engage the hikers.
The park hosted an artist in residency program several years ago, but it hasn't been active for the past few years. Last year, McCutcheon said, the U.S. and Canada agencies teamed up to revive the program. Two artists spent last year on the trail for 2 weeks each. The goal was to have the artists interact and engage with hikers and create a project that highlighted visitors' experiences. Artist Corey Francis Parks spent her residency gathering postcards from hikers for a collective portrait of the Chilkoot Trail.
She's posting those postcards and then is going to make an animation from her videos, photos, and then these postcards where some people drew, some people wrote, and she's going to create this really cool 2 to 3 minute animation as well as upkeeping this website that kind of has posts throughout the year. So really neat that while she was on the trail, she engaged the hikers. She's continuing to engage these people and create a great product. And then also 1 year later, this summer, she's going to send those postcards back to those folks. It'll get them 1 year after they were on the trail. So it's a really neat continuing project.
Parks writes on her blog, KlondikeLetters.com, that while in residency on the trail, she collected 130 postcards from hikers, more than 1,500 photographs, and more than 3 hours of sound recordings she will use to produce animations and multimedia projects about the Chilkoot Trail. Additionally, the art produced on the trail and afterward provides visual outreach to others in the U.S. and Canada and helps spread the word about the Chilkoot Trail, McCutcheon said.
That's why we've kind of focused on that visual media, is it's a way for us through our websites, and not everyone that's just here in, you know, Haines or Skagway or Whitehorse, you know, more people will be able to actually experience this art by having it be a media source that we can get online.
One aspect that sets this experience apart from other artists in residency programs is the trail experience needed, said McCutcheon. Not only do applicants need to be accomplished artists and have a project in mind for the trail, but they need to have enough outdoor experience to be able to hike and stay on the trail for 2 weeks.
So we have to, you know, not only looking for an experienced artist, but we're also looking in many ways for, a person that's experienced in the backcountry in the wilderness and has that connection and knows how to carry themselves on the trail for 2 weeks.
Artists may be accompanied by one support person to help share the load and enhance safety on the trail. Artists receive $500 for travel reimbursement from Alaska Geographic and support from the Klondike Gold Rush National Historic Park for art supplies and gear. The Yukon Arts Center provides a $1,000 honorarium. The residency is open to Canadian and American visual artists. Application for the program are due February 1st, and McCutcheon said the chosen applicants will be announced around March 1st. For more information or an application, visit the Parks Canada website or find a link to the information on our KHNS News webpage. Registration is now open for the 2013 Buckwheat Ski Classic to be held on the Log Cabin Ski Trails north of Skagway on Saturday, March 23rd. The nonprofit Log Cabin Ski Society now organizes the race after race founder Buckwheat Donahue was at the helm for 25 years. The race is a fundraiser for the society, which maintains the ski trails with equipment and volunteers from Alaska and the Yukon. The Buckwheat Ski Classic will again have 50K, 25K, and 10K classic cross-country ski races, as well as a 5K kids race. Racers can sign up by clicking on the race entry tab on the website and following the registration link. There's a discount for registering early and before the end of February, then fees go up in March. Racers also have the option of joining the society for $10 per year and donating to the society's grooming equipment fund. Print registration forms and membership applications will also be available at the Mountain Shop in Skagway and Lutac Lumber in Haines. Additional ferry runs have been added between Juneau, Haines, and Skagway to accommodate racers on that weekend. For more information, visit the race website at buckwheatskiclassic.com. On Thursday, Alaska legislators again meet to discuss the change to the Alaska Class Ferry Project. A joint meeting of the House and Senate Transportation Committees is scheduled for 1 p.m. in Juneau. The committee first will hear a presentation on an overview of the Aviation Department. The committee will then discuss and take public comment on the new direction for the ferry vessel acquisition. The meeting begins at 1 p.m. Live web streaming of the meeting is available at 360north.org and Alaska Legislature TV at akl.tv. The Haynesboro Library will also be live streaming the meeting for the public. Mayor Stephanie Scott will be giving comment during the public testimony part of the meeting. And a quick note about Thursday's programming, Talk Around Town is back. Host Deborah Schnabel and her guests will be discussing the recent changes to the Alaska Class Ferry design, how the changes came about, what the changes mean for the communities in the Upper Lynn Canal, and how locals are feeling about these changes. So join us for Talk Around Town at 10 a.m. on Thursday here on KHNS. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friedenauer. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.